Praise the Lord. Well, let's receive the word of God, which is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. Title tonight, Sons of Oil Should Prophesy. Sons of Oil Should Prophesy. Let's begin with Zechariah 4, 1 to 5. Zechariah writing, he says, "Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of sleep. And he said to me, 'What do you see?' So I said, 'I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at the left.' So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, 'What are these, my Lord?' Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.'" Verse 11, "Then I answered and said to him, 'What are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left?' And I further answered and said to him, 'What are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains?' Then he answered me and said, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.' So he said, 'These are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth.'" These are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. In context, those two anointed ones were Zechariah and Haggai, the two prophets of the Lord of those times, and we'll pick up some scripture later with them. But in prophetic fulfillment, those two anointed ones are you and me. The anointed ones, the olive trees. The marginal of my Bible says, sons of oil. Who are these sons of oil that drip golden oil into pipes that run right into the candlestick and light up the church? Another marginal says, sons of fresh oil. People that are anointed, people that have oil to pour into the church. Zechariah needed an awakening. He was on the premises, but he needed an awakening to see who he was and what he was, that he was one of these sons of oil. And so the Lord, maybe we need a fresh awakening tonight to see who we are and what we are to provide. The Bible says in Psalm 52:8, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God." Green, fruitful, alive, full of the anointing, full of the oil of God's presence. In Psalm 92:10, "I have been anointed with fresh oil. My power, my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil." What a beautiful picture in Zechariah chapter 4. Two anointed ones, two sons of oil represented as olive trees standing beside the lampstand, one on either side, which represents the church, the people of God, what God wanted to do in the earth. And the Bible says that oil was flowing right off the branches into gold pipes and went right into the lampstand and lit it up. No normal process here. There was immediate response in these sons of oil. Normally, you'd have to pick the olive fruit. Then you'd have to press out the olives, prepare the oil, carry it in vessels, pour it into the lampstand so that it would light up bright. The house of God would light up. But these sons of oil were so full of the anointing of God that the oil flowed spontaneously. It flowed directly into the lampstand and lit up the church of God, lit up the work of the Lord and the purpose of God in that day. Matthew 5:15 says, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." put it on a lampstand, gives light to all those who are in the house. Jesus said in Revelation 1:20, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels, the messengers of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. We are the sons of oil. Sons of oil should prophesy. Let the sons of oil prophesy. Let there be fresh, immediate oil from our lives into the house of God, into the lampstand, to bring forth the glory of God. Sons of oil, sons of fresh oil. What do these sons of oil do? They empty out of themselves the golden oil through gold pipes of holy character. It goes directly into the church, and the church lights up with the fire and glory of God. Well, in practical terms, what do sons of oil do? Number one, they prophesy. They speak by inspiration. All of us have a commission on our lives as the anointed ones, as the olive trees, as the sons of oil, to speak by inspiration. A prophet is someone who speaks for God, a spokesman for God. A prophet is under a divine duty not to speak his own words, but to speak what God wants said. Sons of oil speak what God wants said. They speak by the word of the Lord, not by their own words. Jesus said in John 8:38, I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. Speaking of the enemy voice, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't have a mind for the things that be of God, but for the things of man. Jesus said, I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. In speech that really matters, there are only two sources, God or the devil. In speech that really counts. Now, there's a lot of speech that goes on during the day. We may talk about the weather or what we're going to have for supper, the meals we're going to have. Those are just kind of normal human words. But in words that really count, there are only two sources, God or the devil. And so we must be careful to speak the words of God. Sons of oil prophesy. They speak by inspiration. They speak what God wants spoken and what God wants said. So in all our days, throughout the day, in our homes, on our job site, in the inward man, as we walk about the day, we must speak the words of God, because they are words of life. They are spiritual words. They will bring forth result. They will bring forth the promise of God. Sons of oil, prophesy. Sons of oil, speak by inspiration. Let the sons of oil prophesy. Let's speak the words of God. Let's speak what God says and keep our confession of faith where it should be, in the proper declaration, the proper prophetic fulfillment of the Lord in our lives. Number two, they get anointed with the oil of gladness. Hebrews 1:9, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. People that reject the law of the Lord. But here's a people, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. There are some people that have more joy than others. There are some people that are anointed with gladness more than others. It all depends on our loving righteousness and hating lawlessness and surrendering our hearts to the Lord. Sons of oil should get anointed with the oil of gladness. That we are a people of the joy of the Lord. That we manifest and live in the joy of the Lord. That joy that's inside of us through Jesus Christ our Savior that no one can take away from us. Rejoice in the Lord always. John 15, verse 10. Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. That's the desire of our Lord, that his joy would be in us and that our joy, he turns it then to our joy. First he says, it's my joy, but it's so much yours, I've given it to you, that it's really your joy. He said, your joy may be full. What a way to live life in the love and the joy of God's presence. John 16, 22. Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice. And your joy no one will take from you. He was going to be separated from his disciples through the death, burial, and resurrection. But he said, I will see you again and your heart will rejoice. And your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. The joy of the Lord, that your joy may be full. He said, we were walking as friends in the earth, Jesus and his disciples, and you'd ask me things and talk to me and I'd answer you. But he said, our relationship has changed. I'm going to the Father, and now you're going to ask on a different level. You're going to ask in my name. But he said, ask that you may receive, you will receive, that your joy may be full. God wants to anoint us with the oil of gladness. The world is heavy. The world is downcast. The world is under its strain and its yoke and bondage. But the people of God, we have the joy of the Lord in our lives. So let's learn to rejoice. Sons of oil, get anointed with the oil of gladness. Psalm 23, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Enemies of all about us, but we're feasting at the table of the Lord. Said, you anoint my head with oil, the oil of gladness, and my cup of joy runs over. Rejoice is a choice. Rejoice is a choice. Philippians 4:4, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Now, he was in circumstances that most people would say, you could not have joy. How could you be rejoicing? Under house arrest, bound under the Roman legal system, waiting for fair trial, imprisoned. But joy is not dependent on the circumstances. Happiness can be. Happiness is based on hap, on the old English hap, on circumstances. But rejoice is a choice. Rejoice is an act of faith. Rejoice is an act of faith, that I rejoice in the Lord always. Begin to rejoice in the Lord when you don't feel like it, because rejoice is a choice. It's an act of faith. Do you know that gloom and negativity and pessimism is an act of unbelief? It's an act of unbelief. Despair and discouragement, when we give ourselves to that, it's an act of unbelief. But when we give ourselves to rejoicing, it's an act of faith. So I encourage the sons of oil tonight, get anointed with the oil of gladness. Jesus said, no man can take your joy from you. I mean, you can give it away. You cannot walk in or live in it, but no one can take it from you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Sons of oil, rejoice. And my, when we rejoice in the Lord, how we brighten up the lampstand, how the glory of God shines in the midst of us. Number three, sons of oil prosper the building of the church. They prosper the building of the church. Ezra 4:24. Now we're going to come to the passage on these two sons of oil, Zechariah and Haggai. Bible says, thus the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, ceased. And it was discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. 16 years, the great work of restoration that was begun with such fervor was halted. Then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophets, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. So Zerubbabel, the governor, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, rose up, he was the high priest, and began to build the house of God which is in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them, helping them. Ezra 6:14. So the elders of the Jews built, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. They prospered through the prophesying. They prospered through the encouragement, through the building, through the strengthening of these men of God. Awake, Zechariah. Zechariah needed to be awakened by the angel. Open your eyes and see who you are and what you're called to do. Zechariah, you're called to prosper the building of the house of the Lord. And as he began to speak those words, and as he began to build, the Bible says, so the elders of the Jews built, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they built and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the command of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Now the temple was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which is in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Then the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the descendants of the captivity celebrated the dedication of this house of God with joy. A prophetic voice that'll build, that'll prosper the work of the Lord. These men began to prophesy. These men began to speak by inspiration. These men began to build up the church, began up the build, to build up the people of God. And the Bible is clear that the elders and the people prospered through the words of these two sons of oil, through these two men. Our words have the power to build up the church, or they have the power to destroy and diminish the church. Sons of oil should prophesy. Sons of oil should do all they can to build up the house of God, to make it beautiful and to cause it to shine brilliantly before the Lord. By our words, we strengthen the house of God. You might say, well, what can two men do? 16 years of impasse, 16 years of despair. The people of God turned to their own ways and did not build the house of God. They left it in disrepair. The enemies, the threats, the discouragement, the decrees that were against them. But when two men rose up, two sons of oil rose up, everything changed and there was breakthrough. That is the power of two anointed sons of oil. What can two people do? A lot. A married couple. Two that take hold of the purpose of God and say, we're going to serve the Lord with all our heart, soul, understanding, and strength. My, what they can accomplish in a lifetime. A team ministry, two in a department of the church, and they put their spirit to the work, and they get anointed, and they start to prophesy and speak the words of the Lord. It's amazing what can be accomplished. Two sons of oil, prophesying over the work of the Lord, and there was breakthrough, there was change, there was transformation because of those two men, Haggai and Zechariah. Haggai was the old man, and Zechariah was the young man. Old men and young men, the old and young working together in the work of the Lord to prosper the building of the house of God. Number four, final point. What do sons of oil do? They bring encouragement and healing. They bring encouragement and healing. Anointed of the Lord, we can bring such great encouragement to our brothers and sisters. When we're anointed with the holy oil, we can bring healing to one another's lives, not only physically, but spiritually and emotionally. Strengthen one another. Mark chapter 6, 12 to 13 says, "So they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them." Jesus sent out his disciples. At the beginning of this chapter, it says he sent them out two by two. He sent two sons of oil into this village, two sons of oil into that city, two sons of oil into that town. Just two. But they were sons of oil, and they were anointed by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Anointed by the Spirit. James chapter 5, 14 to 16. "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses, your struggles, your faults to one another. Ask for brothers and sisters to strengthen you, and pray for one another that you may be healed." That's how clear it is. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. To pray for one another, to encourage. Pray for the people of God. Pray over them with the holy oil. Anoint them with oil. Pray over them as an anointed son of oil. And watch the healing of the Lord manifest in their lives. Jesus said in Luke 22, 31 to 32, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." You're going to go through a testing time, but some chaff is going to be sifted out of you, Simon. "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Strengthen your brethren. Sons of oil should bring encouragement, and they should bring healing. And so we're called to be encouragers. We're called to be strengtheners. We're called to pray for one another in the house and during the week as the Holy Spirit brings many, many names across your spirit every week. You lift up a prayer and call for the healing in the presence of the Lord. Sons of oil bring healing. Sons of oil bring healing. They bring life. They bring encouragement. So tonight, you know, we're here. We're looking at these scriptures. Who are these two anointed ones? Who are these sons of oil? Who are these two olive trees that pour, empty out of themselves, golden oil into the church to revive the church and build up the people of God? Yes, Haggai and Zechariah, but more importantly tonight, you and me. We are those sons of oil. We are to prophesy. We're to speak by inspiration all day long. Everywhere we go, in our homes, in our duties, we speak the word of the Lord. We rise up in the morning and we shake the darkness out of our world. And we let the presence of the Lord begin to minister for to us and work in us. His mercies are new every morning. Wow, we need them. Sometimes we call on them, "Lord, I need your mercies this morning. I need a refreshing. I don't know what happened overnight, but it's like darkness descended on me and I'm struggling getting up and getting going like I should." Begin to say, "Your mercies, O Lord, be upon me." Sons of oil should prophesy. "I want to speak your word today. I want to live for you. I want to shine for you. I want to be on fire for you." Sons of oil should speak by inspiration all day long. Sons of oil should be anointed with the oil of gladness. Let's have the worship team come. Anointed with joy and gladness. Fill our homes with gladness. Fill our days with the gladness and joy and rejoicing of the Lord. Sons of oil should prosper the building of the church. And so our hearts are set on the kingdom. They're set on the building of the house of God and the church of the Lord, that it would be strong and beautiful. And sons of oil should bring encouragement and bring healing to one another. It's a beautiful scripture in Numbers chapter 11 and 29. Then Moses said to Joshua, "Are you jealous? Are you zealous for my sake?" Some people were manifesting the gift of prophecy, and Joshua was a little jealous for Moses' sake. Moses said, "Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." That is the heart of God, that every Christian carry a powerful prophetic anointing, sons of oil, strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, speaking inspiration and speaking life and working his wonders. Acts 2, 17 to 18. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, speak by inspiration, sing by inspiration, work by inspiration. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Who are these sons of oil? "Don't you know?" said the angel. Who are these sons of oil? Well, Zechariah, you're one of them, and Haggai's the other. And so are all my people that will surrender and become those anointed vessels of the living God. Let's stand together tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you need a fresh awakening like Zechariah. He forgot who he was. Maybe some of the discouragement, maybe some of the despair had rubbed off on him. God had to awaken him. Listen, 16 years have gone by, Zechariah. The people have become dull in spirit. Some don't even know if the vision of the Lord will prosper. They're not sure about the restoration. They're not sure about the kingdom. They're not sure about the land and the productivity of the land, whether it ever will be a land flowing with milk and honey again. Zechariah, I need to awaken you. You need to open your eyes and see who you are. And you start prophesying. You start prophesying and see the work of the Lord prosper. And so he did. Maybe you need a fresh awakening tonight. Ask the Lord to touch you, awaken you, open your eyes to see who you are, how strategic you are, how vital is your place in this particular time in history, in the house of God. We're not here just to come and go on a Sunday and come and go on a Tuesday night and come for programs. We are here to empty out of ourselves golden oil through pure, refined, holy character, that the church will shine brilliantly and be a glory to God in the earth. Hallelujah. Well, the altars are open. If you'd like to slip down for prayer, either for consecration before the Lord, or if you'd like somebody to pray for you, pray for one another that you may be healed. But let's surrender ourselves to the Lord as we close out the service tonight.